We're going to be in the book of Revelation this morning, Revelation and chapter 20. It's been a few weeks since we've been in the study due to visiting speakers, due to camp and things like that, but we're going to be back there in the book of Revelation. We're going to be talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And why would we talk about such things? Because it's in the Bible. And we're coming to it here in our study as we've journeyed through. And I just want to remind you that all of the previous messages working our way through the book of Revelation, they are all there on YouTube, and many of them, the audio is on our website as well. And so you can watch them, or you can just listen to the audio of however you would like to do it, whatever's the best for you. You can work your way through those. And today, we're in chapter 20. Previously, we talked about the battle of Armageddon, when Jesus will return. And it's called the second coming, the day of the Lord, when he will return and he will judge this earth. And what a righteous judgment it will be. It will be right. And it will be bloody, though. It will be gruesome. With the words of his mouth, he will slay the wicked. What a powerful truth that is. The Word of God is powerful. It is living. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. Praise God, we have the Bible. We have His Word, and we should love it. We should hold it dear each and every day. Let's value and treasure it. As we come to Revelation 20, John, as he is used of God to see these things unfolding, of course, their future, but he sees them as if they're happening. He sees them on their preview. And here in chapter 20, we're going to begin our scripture with verse number 1. Verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." We'll conclude our reading there. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, open our understanding, that we might understand the scriptures. You have given this to us, these prophecies of future things. Oh Lord, I pray that you would teach us this morning. Guide my thoughts and my words. Father, I pray that you would draw us closer to yourself. Help us to be faithful in these days. Help us to not be short-sighted, but far-sighted in terms of eternity and of your will. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us, and I pray you'd work in this world and help us here, even locally, and us as individuals in our homes, in our work places, that we would be the light that you want us to be, that we would have the testimony of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would work in this nation as we see it so quickly being dragged down the wrong trail, taken away from the founding of our Constitution, taken away in the founding principles being hated and maligned and protested against. Oh God, deliver us from wicked and ungodly men and women. Oh Father, I pray that you would help your church, your people, the true children of God, to shine in this day, Lord, that we might be faithful and that the gospel might continue to advance, not only across this land, but around the world as well. Father, thank you for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The millennial reign of Christ. The biblical millennium, of course, the word millennium means 1,000 years. It's very simple. It means 1,000 years, and that's why it's very fitting for us to use it here, because that's exactly what it means. And if you didn't notice, six times 1,000 years was mentioned, very frankly, very clearly, beginning with verse 2 in every verse down through verse 7. Six verses in a row that is a passage talking all about this 1,000-year period of time when Satan is bound and Christ rules on this earth. We find this 1,000 years mentioned very plainly, very frankly. And so the millennium is a very clear biblical topic, and I believe it is future. It is future. The teaching here in the scripture indicates that also very, I believe, very plainly. Please notice as we think here about the second coming of Christ, here in Revelation 19, I want you to notice two verses beginning with verse 14. Revelation 19, verse 14. It says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth," this is, of course, the Lord Jesus, and the ones described coming with him in the armies is us, is those believers who will come with him. But verse 15 says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." So he comes at the second coming. He comes in judgment against the wicked of this world. That's very clear. But he also comes to rule with a rod of iron. He will rule strictly. He will enforce righteousness very strictly. I suppose we could say he will be very legalistic. He is going to apply the law. And it's going to be a very interesting time. We're going to look at it. All right, so this is coming. Let's look at at a chart here. I've shared this chart a few times, but I do want you to see this chart, all right, which I believe is a accurate biblical a picture of what the Bible teaches about. Very simple, but just in the time frame, of course, beginning with creation in Genesis, and we've had about 4,000 years of Old Testament history, and then in the church age, since Christ has come and died on the cross, we've had about 2,000 years, little more. We don't know how much more it will be, but it's the clock's still counting there. Then, after this, we look for the rapture. We look for the rapture when Christ comes for his own. Then the 7 years of tribulation, which we've looked at, and the majority of the book of Revelation talks about the tribulation period. Actually, a relatively short period, but a time of great trouble upon this earth. That's when Antichrist will be bringing his deceptions. He will rise to power, and all of those things there will be going on during that time. Well, then, at the end of the tribulation, the millennium will start with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, different from the rapture, about 7 years after the rapture. And so, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will not just come in the clouds for his own and then return back to heaven, but will come and set his feet on the Mount of Olives, and he will rule and set up his earthly kingdom right here on this planet. This is coming. This is future. And so it's important to consider that. Now, there are some, perhaps well-meaning, that believe we're in the millennium now, which I don't think is biblical. I think it's an abuse of simple and plain reading and teaching of Scripture. But nonetheless, I'll just make a few comments about it. There are two different views, mainly called amillennial, the amillennial view, and the postmillennial view. I believe what I've set forward and what I'm going to set forward is known as the pre-millennial view. In other words, that Jesus will come and set up his millennial kingdom, literally, physically on this earth. But in the all-millennial view, they believe we're in the millennium now. And obviously the 1,000 years referenced 6 times in 6 verses, they just make it very figurative as a period. All right. In the all-millennial view, they believe that the kingdom of God, when Jesus, you know, died on the cross, when he defeated Satan, you know, where we as believers can have victory over sin, they believe that that's the binding of Satan. And it's all very figurative. They make the plain teaching of Scripture very spiritualized, very figurative in nature. And I don't think that's a faithful rendering or interpretation of the text. Because if you do that with these plain passages, boy, then you can just make the Scripture say just about anything you want, anywhere you want. And so anyway, in this all-millennial view, they basically obliterate the millennium, right? It's there's not 1,000 years. We're ruling right now. The church is ruling the kingdom of God, you know, and Christ is ruling in our hearts. And all this is all figurative and spiritualized, which there's so many passages of Scripture that have to be twisted and compromised to squeeze that kind of view into the Scripture. The all-millennial view does allow for the great apostasy of the church, which, of course, the Bible talks about, the great apostasy, which I believe we're in those days of apostasy. It's on the rise, a turning from the biblical faith. But they allow for that, and then they allow for Christ to come in the second coming and judge the world, and then he ushers in the new heaven and the new earth, which Revelation 21 talks about. So, but again, very spiritualized, very figurative, and runs over and tramples on a lot of Scripture. The post-millennial view is similar. These Scriptures, again, spiritualize these Scriptures, make it figurative. They believe that Christ will come after the church has really brought heaven to earth. In other words, the church is trying to prepare the planet for the return of Christ, and things are going to get better and better and better and better, and then Christ will come when things are ready for his kingdom and his inauguration. All right, but that I do not believe is biblical in any way. But nonetheless, this is a viewpoint out there. So I believe the pre-millennial view, that Jesus will come at the start of the millennium. I mean, he's going to bring it in. He's going to set up his kingdom. He is the king, and he's going to set his kingdom up. It's going to be literal. That means not just that, okay, Christ dwells in my heart today, and he's the king of my life, but no, he is going to be in Jerusalem. He is going to be there. We are going to be able to see his face, literally, physically, And the Bible talks about this. We're going to look at it. All right, so the pre-millennial position is, I believe, the straightforward teaching of Scripture. And for good reason, we see this. I'd like to make another observation briefly, and we'll turn to 2 Peter, if you would. Not far from Revelation, just a teeny tiny bit back, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin with verse number 3. The Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So scoffers in the last days, the Bible says, will come. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. These scoffers, they choose to be ignorant about these things. About what? That by the word of God the heavens were of old. They choose to be ignorant of creation. They've rejected it, creation. The earth standing out of the water and in the water. Verse 6 talks about the flood, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But, Peter says, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And I'll pause there. There's more to read, but Peter takes us here from creation and the flood all the way to the end of the world. He just puts it all in there. But what I do want to notice in the context of this passage, the key verse I wanted to point out is verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Let's go back to the chart just for a moment. I believe that we are coming to the end of the church age. We've had 4 days of Old Testament. If one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, we've had 4 days of the Old Testament time period. We've had approximately 2 days of this New Testament era since Christ. And there's one day of rest coming. One day of rest, as in the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. I think that there's some, I don't know for sure, and I'm not setting dates or anything of that nature at all, but the very fact, I believe, we are close. I think that the rapture of the church, and then the onslaught of the tribulation, and then the second coming of Christ to rule and reign is near. It is near. And we could enter the millennium in 10 years, right? I mean, if the rapture happens soon, it's just a few short years, and Christ comes to rule and reign, and we who know Christ will come back with him. We'll go up in the rapture, and we will come back with him to rule and reign. So there's a few thoughts. I do believe, you know, you have a whole week there. You have the package of a whole week. If one day, if we're not supposed to be ignorant of this very thing, that one day is like a thousand years, I think that we're almost on the conclusion of the last stage of the whole week. And the last day of God's creation was a day of rest. And so the millennium is going to be a time of great rest on this earth when God rules. Okay, so that's just a few things to think about. I do believe we are in the last days. What will it be like? That is, what will the millennium be like? We've got a number of scriptures to look at. We're here in Revelation, or let's go back to Revelation, if you would. Revelation in chapter 19. Revelation in chapter 19. Let's look at verse 15. It says here, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And then would you read that next phrase? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall rule with a rod of iron. He is going to lay down the law. We are going to be under a theocracy, the direct rule of God. It says a rod of iron. This is going to be physical and literal. I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah. If you'd come with me to Isaiah, I'll show you several passages in Isaiah as we come through the message today. So go to Isaiah chapter 2, right in the middle of the Bible, a little bit after the Psalms. You'll find the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, and we'll be looking at the first five verses of chapter 2, talking here about the millennium and the rule of Christ, all right? So Isaiah 2, let's notice here verse 1. It says, "And the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." The Bible tells us when Jesus descends, he'll descend on the Mount of Olives right outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be that holy city and the mountain of God. All right, that holy land is special. The Bible also talks about the people of Israel, the tribes of Israel. They will possess their land in the millennium. So, continuing now in verse 3. "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares." All right, they're going to take their swords. The military weaponry is going to be turned into farming tools. They're going to beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Pick some apples and other fruit with what was a military weapon. "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." There will be no more active militaries of the nations of the world. No more active militaries. They will not be in training. They will not be having recruits. They will not learn war anymore. Verse 5, "O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Okay, so here's a few things that talk about this millennial reign. I'd like to share more from the book of Psalms, and I've got this one on the screen. You can look up there, Psalm 72, verses 6 through 8. "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish." In his days shall the righteous flourish. You see, if you're a wicked person, if you're a corrupt person, you're not going to long endure during the millennium. You're going to be strictly punished and reprimanded, and either you get right or you'll be taken care of. All right? And that's the characterization of the millennial reign. Christ is going to lay down the law. But it's going to be a great time because he's righteous. He's not a corrupt dictator. He's a righteous God. He's going to bring true equity, true justice and judgment. And for the righteous, for those who love God, for those who love righteousness, it's going to be a time that is so wonderful. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. The news media is not going to have anything to report. Yeah, I mean, they might not be there. All right. But so notice what it says in verse 7. "In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion as from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." And so consider that. It will be a righteous rule. The Bible also tells us, as we read here, in Revelation, I think you can remember that. It says that Satan would be bound, right? The angel was pictured there getting a great chain and binding Satan for 1,000 years. He's thrown into the bottomless pit. And he is bound. And it says there that he will not be able to deceive the nations anymore. Won't that be a wonderful thing when he is in prison? He is, the Bible says he is shut up in prison. What a wonderful thing that will be. The one who deceives the nations. And that's why I believe we are not in the millennium. I mean, that's one reason, right? Because Satan is not bound. People are deceived again and again. The nations are deceived today. Yes, we as Christians have victory over the devil. When we pray, when we humble ourselves before God, the devil flees. But the very fact is that he is still walking around in this world. And notice a couple more verses. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians. I've got this one here as well on the screen for time's sake. 2 Corinthians, I think that's actually chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world speaks of Satan. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so the God of this world, obviously Satan right now is not bound. Obviously there's limits, yes. I mean, he can't do whatever he pleases. God has set limits and boundaries on what he can do, but he is the deceiver of this world. Consider 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober," Peter tells us, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. "Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He walketh about. He's not imprisoned right now. But during the millennium, he will be in prison and unable to deceive the nations. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. It will be wonderful. Nobody will be able to say, "The devil made me do it." It will be an interesting time. Not that today that should be our go-to excuse, because we have a sinful nature and we need to recognize our need for the Savior. Our heart is deceitful. We don't need the devil to trip us up. We've got a sinful nature, a sinful heart that Christ truly can heal and give victory. Let's consider a few more things. I'm going to have to keep moving along here, but the climate is going to be different. The climate of planet Earth is going to be different. It seems that it's going to be more like the Garden of, let's see, I'll stay there. It seems like it's going to be more like the Garden of Eden, more like the pre-flood, at least, where things are going to grow better. It's going to be like a big greenhouse. The Bible talks about this. In fact, it talks about how it's going to be all new. In fact, after the destructions of the tribulation, the world is going to be, you read about those destructions, and I mean, most of the trees burnt up, all the world just in chaos. And after the Battle of Armageddon, the ravages of war and the dead carcasses. But God is going to clean it all up, and it's going to be, once again, a renewed planet, and it will be beautiful. Isaiah 65 talks a little bit about some of these things. In fact, verse 17. But I'm continuing on to Isaiah 11. If we could go there, Isaiah 11, we'll look at verse 6. Isaiah 11, verse number 6. The Bible tells us that in the millennial period, it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." Isaiah 11, verse 6. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox." It seems that these animals, which are vicious and are carnivores today, will be herbivores during the millennial period. They will be at peace. The animals will not be attacking one another and devouring one another. And notice verse 8, it says, "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so earth is going to be such a peaceful place, even in the animal kingdom. It's going to be amazing. This is coming. This isn't a fairy tale. This is the prophecy of God. It will happen. Disease will be less. People will live long lives as before the flood. You read about Methuselah, right? He lived 969 years. He's the oldest recorded person to live. 969 years. I believe that you are going to have people on earth during the millennium that are going to be born in the beginning even of the millennium and are going to live the whole time to the end. Not everybody, but many, no doubt. And people are going to live longer. Let's consider Isaiah 65. If you'd turn over there to Isaiah 65 and see what the scripture says here. Isaiah 65, and we're going to look at verse 20. It says here, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old." In other words, when a 100-year-old person dies, now so there's still going to be death, understand, the curse isn't lifted. Now it may be lessened, but it's not completely lifted. There's still death, there's still sin, there's still those things. This is not heaven, this is the millennial kingdom on planet Earth. Jesus is still the Savior, he's still the way of salvation, all of those things, but there's going to be, it says here, a child shall die 100 years old. So a 100-year-old person dies, and it will be like, oh, in their childhood, you know, in perspective of the lifespan of people in this period. And so consider that very interesting, similar to the pre-flood condition when people lived for hundreds of years and it was the norm. The sinner, it says, being 100 years old in the last part of verse 20, the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So there will be sin and there will be judgment, but God will rule. Verse 21, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." We're going to be able to build things. You're going to be able to plant trees and see their maturity and all of that. There's going to be a lengthening of man's days of life. Verse 23, "They shall not labor in vain." Your work is going to be more productive, more fruitful. "They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them." Verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." And so a time of great blessing, a time of great fruitfulness here in this millennial kingdom, which is coming. We already talked about wars will cease. There will be no wars. This planet has never known a period of 1,000 years without war. Not even close. But there will be no wars in the millennium. Isaiah 2:4 we already read, but talks about they'll beat their swords into plowshares. It's also in Micah, which I have on the slide here. Micah 4, verse 3. And it's very similar. "And he shall judge among the people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That is a different passage than we read earlier, although it's almost identical. We will be able to worship and serve the Lord right in the presence of Christ. Consider Zechariah. I also have this one on the slide there, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king." We're going to be able to go to Jerusalem. Of course, we will be in glorified bodies, and so that. But it's describing what the time will be like. Go up to Jerusalem from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. God is going to have an interesting style of ruling. But people are going to fly into Jerusalem every year to worship the King. If they don't, they won't get rain. Kind of an interesting time. All right, I'm only touching on some of the scriptures. I have Isaiah. Let's see, I think I did read that one already earlier out of chapter 2. I'm going to continue on here. Who will enter? Who will enter into this millennial kingdom? Well, there will be a fragment of humanity. After the tribulation, after the battle of Armageddon, and all those people who took side with the devil, who took the mark of the beast, there will be few people left on earth. But those who are will enter this kingdom as Christ sets it up. So fragments of the nations, but also the redeemed of the Lord. In fact, consider back, I want to just note this verse again in Zechariah. It says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year." Everyone that's left of the nations, which will be few, will be a minority, but a representation from all the nations will go up to Jerusalem and to worship the Lord. Our time is a little, I better just cruise through to the end though. So who can enter? Well, the fragments of the nations. The Bible tells us there will be the tribes of Israel will be there. And in fact, they will be inheriting their land in that region. And of course, we the redeemed are with the Lord Jesus. Revelation 20 verse 4. Let's notice that. Revelation 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them." And I'm going to cruise right down over to here, talking about saved people and those who did not receive the mark of the beast in their hands or their foreheads. And it says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ." That's going to be including us, the redeemed. We will come with him. We will rule with him. We will be his servants in a glorified body, unable to sin. These are concepts that blow my mind. There will be the natural human beings upon earth, and of course they will be having children. They will be going on in the normal human way, in their sinful nature, but with God in charge. And we will be ruling and serving Christ, but we will be in our glorified bodies. Very interesting things that will be characterized this time. Consider Daniel 7, verse 27. "And the kingdom, the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." The millennial kingdom. So how should I prepare? How should I prepare? Well, we need to grow in Christ. Consider the message last week of seeking higher ground, right? I would encourage you to go back and to listen to that message. How can we continue forward for Christ? But maybe you're not even saved. you know, you got to be saved. You need to know Christ. If you're unsaved, you're headed for hell. You're under the wrath of God. When the rapture happens, you'll be left behind, and you will, in that unsaved condition, most likely perish and die without Christ. Your heart will be hardened. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says, and so are you saved? There's no better way to be prepared for what's coming for the millennial kingdom than to be saved. You need to be saved. Trusting Christ and Him alone. You need to surrender to Christ's sanctifying work. He wants to make you more like Jesus in this life, in these days. Are you walking with Jesus and becoming more like Christ? He wants you to serve Him. He has a plan and a will for your life. We need to be faithful servants of God in this time, in our life. Are we doing His will? The Bible also indicates that those who are faithful in this time, He will entrust with greater opportunity and responsibility in the future. And so serve Him faithfully and win souls to the Savior. The Bible says in Daniel 12, verse 3, it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever." They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. Are you turning others to God? Are you prepared for what's ahead? Saved, surrendered, serving, and soul winning. Are we prepared for what's around the corner? Let's be faithful to the Lord. Let's walk with Him. God is good. He's got great and interesting things in store. If you don't know Christ, you can text us here at the church. If you're joining online, you can text us. Text the word salvation to the number there on your screen. And we'd love to send you some material how you can be saved. If you're joining us here, we'd also love to share and answer any questions and share how you can be saved.